Welcome to the Beyond Barriers podcast. When women lead, share performance and profits go up 50%. Results are more powerful when everyone is empowered. This is the insight that brought the four founders of Beyond Barriers together. We came from a diverse set of leadership backgrounds with a common goal: to close the gender gap at work and expand economic opportunities for everyone. Tune in each week as one of us interviews inspiring guests who share stories and cutting-edge strategies that will help you learn what helped them go further, faster.
I needed to realize I can't do it all, and quite frankly, don't want to do it all. What do I want? Rest. I want ease. Okay, so then I need to function from a different place. Instead of functioning from hustle and depletion and exhaustion and getting things done, I'm functioning from prioritizing my well-being. If whatever it is that I need to get done, home life, work life projects, how do I want to feel working on this, getting to this, doing this? How do I want to feel at the end of it? And based on what those feelings are, how do I need to operate, show up? What do I need to cut off, stop to meet that? So I'm still working towards a goal. It's still satisfying that hustle in me, but I'm prioritizing my well-being, how I want to feel maintained. And that superwoman complex, it's not healthy. It is toxic. Take off the cape. That's not it. I thought that was the way because that's all I saw. I've seen women work hard. I've seen women work smart, but I didn't grow up seeing women work with ease. So I think that's what needs to change in me prioritizing.
Brace yourself for an electrifying episode that vividly shows how our daily thoughts profoundly influence who we are. I'm your host, Brooke Skinner Ricketts, and today we sit down with Yasmine Duncan, Chief People Officer at the world-famous Magnolia Bakery. Yasmine's life story is a compelling testament to the transformative power of self-belief and goal setting, nurtured from a young age by her insightful mother. As she takes us through her exhilarating path as a woman of color in leadership roles across diverse industries, her experiences will captivate and inspire you. Yasmine's commitment to her values and her journey towards self-realization are profound, offering vital lessons in resilience and authenticity. Tune in as we dive deep into a conversation that promises to uplift, motivate, and empower you to embrace your unique journey towards success and fulfillment. Visit gobeyondbarriers.com, where you will find show notes and links to all the resources in this episode, including the best way to get in touch with our special guest.
Yasmine Duncan, I am so thrilled to have this conversation with you. We met through a mutual friend and through LinkedIn. You work with someone who I worked with 12 million years ago, and he's the chief marketing officer with you. And I've gotten to know you through a handful of Zoom calls and just really admire your work. And I follow you on social media. You are a total force. I'm so excited to hear your story and maybe include a couple of lessons that you learned along the way.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I feel honored. And just to meet you, it's been just phenomenal. So just a little bit about me, high level overview, and then we get to the good stuff. So I've been in human resources now, where does the time go, for 19 years. I worked in a myriad of different industries, from HR, retail, fashion, beauty, nonprofit, startup, you name it. And now I'm in the food and beverage industry with the world's most beloved bakery, Magnolia Bakery, as a chief people officer for the globe.
Tell me about, like, when you think about the 19 year career that you've had, what are some of the lessons that stand out for you?
Sure. It's been an interesting journey as a woman of color, being in executive seats and roles very early on in my career. So being the youngest, being maybe more than likely the only woman of color in the room, or the Black woman or Black person on the team, I didn't have a blueprint of how to navigate. And I also didn't have people in my personal circle that can aid me in navigating the corporate landscape, being able to identify power and who has it, finding an advocate in the workplace for my level of work, but also someone who's able to mentor me, right? There was no blueprint of navigating the world of work. And so it was tough trying to figure out what this looks like and not wanting to also fulfill certain stereotypes that may have been assumed about me if I were to speak up. I don't want to be thought of as aggressive. So how do you do that? And so my journey And my biggest learning has been self-development, right? I may not have the blueprint of the step A to Z of how you do this, but I can develop my own internal self-belief and internal motivations, and also identifying who I am and who I'm not and who I won't be, mm-hmm. and be comfortable mm-hmm. with my voice. So to answer your question, because context is important.
Yeah.
I would say be comfortable with yourself and know your worth. Mm-hmm. Do your own self journey of digging in to identify who you are. And I think when you get really clear about who you are and who you're not, there's an internal identity that's rooted in the ground that you can't be stirred from, or you can't be easily mm-hmm. discouraged in being. It helps you to be authentic in the world, let alone at work, even in your personal life. So doing my own like internal work in my own self journey to define who I am has been huge. It's helped me to be a really authentic leader and feel comfortable no matter what company I was in, industry I was working in. As you see, I jumped a myriad of different industries. Even if I'm challenged in the workplace, either in conversation or challenged just in how to navigate, I have roots in the ground. I'm like, yes, you did this before. You navigated right. this before. You strategized. You remember that really hard challenge that you had when you worked at such and such? Right. You got this, right? So mm-hmm. that's been super helpful. And I think also I would say fail fast. Failure is mm-hmm. a part of the journey. People can beat up on themselves so harshly. It's like, I failed. I didn't do this well. It's okay. You are going to fail. Mm-hmm. And failure, I find it's all about perspective, just life in general. Failure is a blessing because of the lessons that you learn. It's the valley stages of life that you go through, that we go through, that teach us the biggest lesson. It's the gut-wrenching stuff. It's not really when you're on the mountaintop. So fail fast, learn your lessons. I would also say enjoy the journey. Huge, mm-hmm. right? I think in the world of work, we get caught in the busy. We're trying to navigate and balance all the things. Work-life balance, which I've come to find doesn't actually exist. Work-life harmony, right?
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Because I was saying integration, but harmony is even better. That's like level two. I love it.
Yeah, harmony, it's realistic. I'm not mm-hmm. going to fit everything in. Depending how demanding your job is, it's not really a 9-to-5. It's probably like an 8-to-8, an 8-to-10, and then you still have home life. If you have children, mm-hmm. if you have a partner, it's a lot to navigate. And so enjoy the journey that you're on. You're not going to get everything done today. You have to pace yourself. You know, what's real? They say you need to prioritize, right? What you need to get done. But I don't know if it's prioritizing everything that you need to get done or identifying what's realistic for you to get done today, the next week, the next month. What are realistic priorities? Because everything is urgent, right? So I think some lessons that really helped me along the way.
That's so great. One of the things that struck me as you were talking is we have a lot of amazing leaders in our circle. And there's this experience of holding a lot of other stuff as you're coming up, I'll say, right? Like you were saying, like you're the first, you're the only, you're thinking about the stereotypes, you're thinking it, like you're just holding all this stuff as you're also trying to excel and grow, right? And for a lot of us, that's what makes it feel like we're working twice as hard to go half as far, right? And because that takes so much energy and so much time. And I think like what you said in terms of the importance of finding your roots and finding your grounding, that can be so empowering when you're also trying to juggle so many other things. But how did you, you're obviously a very successful person, so how did you get through the holding that and pushing forward and succeeding and excelling?
That's a really great question that you asked. And I think it starts back at the beginning of our journeys. I grew up in a home that really fostered a home and an environment. Let me be clear on that. That fostered great self-belief, internal motivation, setting goals, manifestation, and also being able to visualize myself ahead. And when I say childhood, I'm talking like in elementary school, right? So I've actually never suffered with imposter syndrome. Actually, I didn't even know what that was. I'd never even heard of imposter syndrome until 2020 when the world was reflecting on their lives because we're standing still.
I love that. It's so incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, what? Afraid that believing that I don't actually belong where I am or I haven't earned it? I've never struggled with that. I've never struggled with the lack of self-belief. My mother told me that there's things that I need to know. And she started asking me this question when I was in the second grade. I tell the story a lot. But she would say, there's four things that you need to know, Yasmeen, and you need to be able to have answers to these questions. And the four things were, what is the woman that I want to be? Where I want to live? How do I want to live? And what do I want to do? And you may say, okay, that's a little weird. That's a little odd. A second grader being asked these questions, what do you really know? But it was so monumental for my life and shaping my life, because as a child, it gave me a North Star. It got me to start critically thinking about who I want to be. How do I want to show up? Those four questions dig down, drill down into some things, right? And she was constantly asking me these questions all throughout the school year of the second grade, the third grade, the fourth grade, the fifth grade. The point that I'm making is, I guess, did answer those questions. In short, kind of change over time. I thought I was going to be counseling people. I told my mom, I want to be a social worker. I want to be a psychologist. I ended up in HR. Quite frankly, it's the same thing.
I was going to say, there's a lot of overlaps.
Right? I'm a psychologist. Mm-hmm. I'm saving lives and marriages. But it gave me a North Star of where to go. Being able to answer those four questions helped me to create guardrails for my life in every phase and level. If I take a job, well, should I take this job based on the woman that I want to be and how I want to live and what I want to do? Does this get me closer or no? If it doesn't get me closer to that, if it's not a journey where I can learn a lot of things to add to my tool belt to get me closer to those answers that I created for myself, I don't take the job.
Yeah,
I don't get into that relationship. Ooh, good stuff. I don't have those friends because when I hang out with them or when we engage, I'm not standing in the woman that I want to be. This isn't helping me to get to my future self of how I operate in the world, how I make decisions, etc. So I would say you need to have firm standards and be able to identify what are my standards, what are my boundaries, and those four questions I tell people often because it's really helped to set up my life. It gave me a firm foundation in how I operate. And when I think of those times at work where I felt pressure to code switch to be accepted because I was the only person in the room, I should talk like this. I think I'll be heard. I think it'll land. I think I'll blend in. Is that authentic to you? Is that really a part of the woman that you want to be and how she acts, how she behaves, how she responds? No. So why are you doing that? And I would say earlier on in my career, there was a lot of that, right? Either the code switching or the tone changing or giving responses or saying things to be palatable. Because I really wanted to know, could I be firm and strong in my decisions and my beliefs and disagreeing in a meeting and not be aggressive? I don't know if those, I looked at them as being mutually exclusive and they're not. And so I think also having characters on TV, because you don't have a blueprint and you really want one. I got the parameters. I have those four questions that help me to put like guardrails and parameters in place, which is great. But I need something else. And I think having these Black female characters in certain shows, when I think of Claire Huxtable on The Cosby, when I think of How to Get Away with Murder, Viola Davis, right? Or when I think even of Kerry Washington, when she played Olivia Pope in Scandal, there are elements, sure, there's their personalities or at different points can be heightened or very stern or very direct or all the things, but there were strengths that you can pull from. And it's not a mutually exclusive thing. As a woman, I can be firm, direct, maintain the tone that I have at this very moment, look you straight in the eye and say what I have to say and be firm. And it's okay. And it was direct, but it was soft, it was kind, and it was also clear. And you can do all of that and feel comfortable. That was a journey. But when I think of, again, the woman that I wanted to be and who I saw, I remember growing up, listen, when I watched 9 to 5, ooh, that was just everything.
Me too.
I'm telling 9 to 5. I couldn't wait to have my nails and my hair done, go to work with my outfits. I was here for it. Beyond the aesthetic, who am I for real? I think something else that also kept me is women outside of race or culture, just as a woman in the boardroom and having these senior positions can be limited. I would say it's more common maybe than it was years ago, but it is limited. So being that example, I want to be a strong example for how a woman operates and navigates the boys' club.
Yeah.
And how she can rest in her personal power. Oh, that's a whole other conversation. Her personal power, her feminine, like, je ne sais quoi, and own the room. It's an art.
It is. And it's cultivated. Thinking about those parameters, because I'll tell you, we work, the first thing we do when folks come in is we talk to them, we start with clarity. And clarity about exactly that, because so many of us spend our careers doing things because either we were told we were good at them or because someone else asked us to, right? But so rarely do we stop to think, does this align? Is this important to me? Does this work matter, right? And I spent 20 years doing that. And then I got to where I thought I was going and then like landed with a thud that I realized that wasn't what I wanted after all, right? And so I feel like it's such a gift to have that grounding. And even if it takes a journey to figure it out, right? We're all becoming every single day. Claire Huxtable is also an idol of mine. And I feel like, but I just feel like to have that grounding from the beginning and start thinking about that, right? It's never too early. And then because it is so easy, we're like, we get caught up in hustle culture. We get caught up being affirmed for things that are really other people's agenda, right? Not our own. And so I think it's amazing that your mom started early. Please give her a big hug from me. I think that's a good work in the world, right?
Absolutely. Like you said something that was so key, but those four questions set me up from the second grade to take agency for myself, to have my own agenda. And my agenda was always top of mind. It was phenomenal for my life. And I live where I said I was going to live. I live in the very building I told her I was going to move into in the second grade. That's where I am. Like it was full circle manifestation.
That's incredible. So cool. So cool. Thank you for sharing that story. That's just, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you knew, you had purpose, you had clarity. You're really good at telling your story. You have a great brand. You're like a person who people are drawn to. I would love to know, one of the things that comes up for a lot of folks that we work with is I feel like I'm bragging when I tell my own story. How did you get to the point? First of all, how do you tell your story and what has that journey been like? And what are your guardrails for that, right? How do you approach that?
First thing, I think is brand identity, right? So it goes into a little bit of marketing. Like I know who I am. I'm clear on who I am. I'm clear on who I'm not. But the next step to that question is, how do I want to show up in the world? If someone went on my LinkedIn page, what would they read about me? What is the PR of my brand communicating to the world? What am I storytelling? What kind of posts should I put up? Once I identify like what my story needs to be, what my brand needs to be, I should always have actions and make decisions that are aligned with that. I should be on podcasts. If I say, for instance, I'm a self-care consultant, I should be on podcasts that advocate for all things wellness, self-care, and self-being, right? And well-being. I should have posts about self-care and how to better do that and all the things that encompasses, from mental health, from growing your emotional intelligence, from creating your boundaries. I should partner with subject matter experts that have platforms that are also aligned with how I want to show up in the world, what my brand is, and what my brand message is. And then in person, there is also an aesthetic, right? If I am a self-care consultant or advocate, I should look like I have high self-care in how I present, what I'm wearing, how is my hair? Everything needs to be aligned. And why? Why does everything need to be aligned? because this is also a huge lesson I learned in HR throughout all the years. People believe in people that believe in themselves.
So true.
People can trust what I'm saying. They can trust my brand because my message is clear. It is aligned with the items that I post, the collaborations that I have, and how I show up. I look like I care about myself. I look like I love myself, and how I operate and the confidence that I have and how I protect my self-confidence. I don't allow myself to engage in things that's going to take me out of this space, because even when I'm not on a podcast, even when I am not having a speaking engagement, I'm interacting with people. I meet people all the time. I'm always at a networking event. Plug, send me a DM. Love to have a network meet and greets. I need to be showing up as that. Even when I'm not on, I should still be living my brand. Also, outside of being a CPO at Magnolia Bakery, I'm the CEO and founder for the Sisterhood Society for Women of Color. That's a nonprofit organization helping women to take agency in their careers. And it is focused on aiding Black women. I am a girl cheerleader. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. I always need to operate in that space, that mindset, and make sure that I have space for that. At any given time in the week, I always receive DMs of, hey, can we hop on a call? Hey, I'm having a salary negotiation conversation. I've seen your post on LinkedIn. How should I approach that? I need to show up authentically in alignment with all the things that I say. So I think that's how you do it. The other part to that, to answer also the question, boundaries. Create boundaries, right? Like, it's a lot to manage and handle all the things. It's recognizing you can't do everything. I've struggled with this for years. It's something I wouldn't say that I struggle with, because I've adjusted my boundaries and I've had real life, like, self-talks. You can't do it all. And it's a lot managing work, these passion projects I have, nonprofit, relationship, home life, all the things. But what does my week look like? Like, I can only, based on maybe activities I'm doing with my partner and my workload for the week, this is not the week for a networking event. I can maybe take a virtual max. I'll do 2 meet and greets virtually. That's it. I'm capped out. Because I also need to make sure that I'm, my internal and emotional and mental space is preserved. I need me time. My self rituals, ooh, this is a good conversation. Having self rituals is how you maintain, and you need to have guardrails and boundaries to have those rituals so your self care can be in place. When I wake up in the morning, I need to pray. I need to have breathing exercises, right? Where I'm just breathing for like 15 minutes after prayer. I need to have a moment to sit for a second and I visualize my day. I look at my planner. These are the meetings that I have. I'm visualizing how I want to show up in these meetings. How do I want to respond? This doesn't need to be an hour. I need to cap it. I need some breathing room between the day. And then I visualize, how do I want to feel after this day is done? And I may say, you know what? I want to feel full, like I had a really productive day, and I want to feel at ease. So once I visualize my day and then I establish how I want to feel by the end of the day, that means how I operate in the day, I need to operate in a way that will help me meet my goal of feeling at ease and full. And so that's, again, my guardrails are like,
yeah,
you got to put that in place. And literally, do you do that every day? Yeah, do it every day. And, awesome. But I will tell you, I'm not depleted at the end of the day because I visualize and put into action and manage my schedule, my time. We're talking to people all day, all that socialization. I need a minute. I need like a 30 minute or a 15 minute, like 30, at least a 30 minute by the end of the morning, 15 minute mid-afternoon. They're like, whew, right? And so at the end of the day, I hit my goal. I feel at ease. I feel full. I didn't get everything done. I got what I needed to get done. I'm good. And then you have a cap of work wraps. It's 6. That's it. Home life. No email.
Yeah. I love so many things about this. It's one of the things I really love is you are so clear in integrating Like, it's just, you're one full authentic person, right? And so many people, I feel like when we think about networking for work, it feels like, well, that's my work self. And it's like a thing that I have to do and I have to turn on some other version of myself. But I think what you're sharing is really a way of moving through the world where your whole self is integrated, right? You have really clear boundaries. You've got really clear agency, right? Which is something that a lot of people struggle with. But I think it's so important for people to hear that. And we talk about that too. Like, networking does not have to be like awkward bros, whatever, right? It's walking in with your authentic self and creating authentic relationships, right? Like meeting people like this conversation, like meeting people you really want to get to know, right? Spending time with them and investing in those relationships and also deciding which ones not to invest in, right? So, so thank you for sharing that. And I think also the rituals, right? That's, I think it's so important to stick with those, right? Because it's easy to, I find like, all of those things are easy to start and they're really easy to drop, right? So it's the first thing to go, right? Some of those rituals that really keep us whole. So good for you for being so firm about those boundaries. I think that's awesome.
What if you knew exactly where to focus to go further, faster? Imagine having clarity on your strengths and barriers and the ability to take action and gain unstoppable momentum to deliver results in advance. Take the Beyond Barriers Momentum Metric quiz to get a personalized report on the 5 C's, core categories used to measure and accelerate success. Visit gobeyondbarriers.com/quiz to get your report today.
So tell me about confidence and resiliency. When you think about taking risks or overcoming fears or limiting beliefs, what do you do when you come to a juncture and you're not sure what to do, right?
How do you manage when you think,
I don't have the resources that I need to get this done, right? How do you approach those situations?
I think it's getting clear on the root of where these thoughts and feelings are coming from. And so for people who I coach, I don't believe I could do this, or I would apply for the role I want to, but I'm afraid that I'm going to fail at it. So I think I should just stay here because I'm good in my role. But why do you think you're going to fail? Where's that come from? Mm-hmm. Again, we always got to journey back to the beginning.
Right.
And
right.
So many things are rooted in our childhood and established trauma. We're all navigating. We're all on our journey. Mm-hmm. Where does that fear come from? Where does that self-doubt come from? Why specifically do you believe that if you stepped into another level of your job, like if you're successful where you are, it's everything that you're doing now that makes you successful. Mm-hmm. It's just a few other things. Life is about perspective. In order to shift your perspective, you need to have new understanding. You have new understanding when you are you have clarity on where things come from. So do a list. Is what I tell people I've coached. Make a list of why you don't believe that you'll be successful in A, whatever A is. Give me a list. Just give me a running list. Sometimes people are like, oh, it's like 20 things. Okay, let's give me like your top five, right?
Right?
And dig into each of those things, like trace back where that thought came from. When did you first have the thought of not believing that you can do more? Mm-hmm. When were you afraid? Who told you that you wouldn't be capable? Were you teased? Were you bullied? Did you not process that you're afraid of being considered? That you have a lack of confidence of presenting yourself to the world, to your boss? You know, who told you you don't speak well? Are you laughed mm-hmm. at? Did you have a reading impairment where it translated into when you would talk? Did you have a stutter issue? These are a lot of things that have come up with clients. And like I say, this is why I say HR is counseling. It feels more counseling and therapy than anything else. Once you get to the root of a thing and get clarity, you'll have a new understanding. Oh, well, my mom would say this to me when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Does she say it to mm-hmm. you now? No, she did it when I was younger, faded over time. Ask your mom what she feels about that. Oh, I talked to my mom. She doesn't feel like that. She actually apologized to me. She didn't know it impacted me to the level. Oh, okay. So I'm glad there was ownership and an accountability and an apology. And she doesn't feel like that anymore. Why do you still feel like that? Let's dig into that, right? Again, come into that new understanding. It's important. How do you build your confidence? Got to get clear on who you are. like when people believe in people who believe in themselves, how do you gain confidence? You got to build your self-belief. Again, I love lists. Write a list. Write a list of all the things you do well. Like the things that like you give me this, it's done in excellence. Like I got this. You feel so strong about. Write that list out. Write it of all the things in your personal life you do well, the things at work you do really well, you showing up in relationships, the things that your friends appreciate. If you can't come up with that list, because people do struggle with identifying the things, you know, like or talking about themselves, ask your friends, ask your loved ones, ask your parents, ask your family. What do I do really well? What do you like about me? Right? It's important to, I think in the journey of building confidence, you need to be able to identify your magic. Gotta get what's my magic? What do I do? What is it about me? And when you discover these things, whether from friends, family, or just in your personal reflections, reflect on it. I really do this well. And write a list, all these things that you come up with that you do really well. Break that out. Why are you happy and proud about doing this? Write that out too. Why are you going to write that out? Well, you want to know why. You need to have understanding. It's changing your understanding. When I'm clear about all the things that I do well and then why I do them well and how impactful it is for my life and those around me, how do you not feel good about that? How do you not feel proud about that? And what you have pride, right? And you feel good about things that just make you feel good and change the world around you, you get confidence because you're now aware. I'm confident and I believe in myself. And I know what I do and how I do it and why I do it well and how transformational it has been for my life, for my kids, for people that I interact with. Yes, that's a confidence builder because now you're clear on who you are. It's huge. And as far as networking, you said something. Because people get uncomfortable with networking. You want to know what networking is about? Energy. Honestly, I didn't start networking until I was a CPO. People think that's crazy. I went to one networking event. I won't say the organization. And I was like, this is not for me. I'm good. And in this role, I'm like, I need to network. You got to get out there. I think that's what you do in the C-suite, right? And so if the networking event is at like 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, the hour or hour and a half before that event, I don't have any calls. I don't have any meetings. I'm wrapping up my day, but I literally in my office, I may turn around and just breathe, hold for four, breathe in 10, whatever you need to do.
Right.
And so I feel good. I'm like exhaling out the day. And when I go to these networking events, I have good energy. And that clarity and that confidence exercise I just went through, what am I clear on? I'm highly engaging. I'm very engaging. It draws people. I'm also very confident. And I wear it not in a haughty way, but in a knowing. When I talk to people, it is clear. I like myself. I love myself. I enjoy myself. And so that draws people in. It creates a curiosity. Truly. All I need to bring to a networking event is good energy. So when I walk in, I'm wide-eyed, I'm smiling. Hi, it's so nice to meet you. How do you not want to talk to a person who comes to you so warm, like so soft, excitable, happy to meet you? I just stand there. And I don't mean to say it like I don't have to do anything. But people come to you. And it's just, and just go with the flow.
That's great. One of the things that you and I both talked about when we first met was, it's a knowing your magic, right? Knowing your strengths, and then maybe overdoing it. Right? And I don't mean overplaying your hand, but I do mean like, I know I have had the experience of believing that I have, there are more hours in the day, that I am six people, right? That I can, like, and getting so passionate about things, right? That I want to be doing 12,000 things and then nothing gets done well. And we talked a little bit about like the superwoman experience. I'd love to hear a little bit about what that looks like, what that has looked like for you and how you've managed through it.
I'm glad you brought this up. Great question. So I would say this is an ideology that I think a lot of Black households or even people of color households can experience or take on. My mom told me, outside of all these questions and all the wonderful things that she has taught me, would always often tell me, you need to give 175%. And even then you may not be counted. But when you do things, it needs to be in excellence. And so it built up this mindset of doing, of having to go hard, of, okay, my mom also told me I'm at work. She said, you have things to count against you. You're female, you're Black, and now you're in the corporate space, you're young. So you got three things to count against you. So you have to like work to show and prove. Don't forget that. Don't lose sight of that. Is there a truth there? That's sure. There is a level of proving. When I'm sitting in a senior team and I'm like 25 years younger than everyone here, it's, you don't really have the life experience to be making these decisions. Like, how do you know what you're saying is correct? And then I'm the HR person at that, right? There is a level of proving, right? Mm-hmm. Sure. But it creates this superwoman complex. And this is an ideology that I think is fostered in Black households and households of color. This doing double to be counted or to just even being considered half as good to have opportunity, because it leads you to overwork, to overexhaust, to work from a place of depletion, to not prioritize your well-being, but to prioritize hustle culture. Because it being a part of the hustle and in hustle culture is going to, is the only way to meet your goals, to be counted, to get positions, to get promotions. No. And it's toxic. It's toxic. It's not real. And I will tell you, I was queen of hustle culture. I don't know where this militant mindset came from with me. And my mom often would say that, or family members like, what? Because I'm like, sleep for 8 hours. Who got time for that? Sleep for 8 hours? You must have all your goals met. For me, if you're going to, you have to earn your sleep is what I believed. I would tell people, earn your sleep. I'm like 4 or 5 hours. I'm ready to go. What's the plan? What are we doing? What needs to get done today? I'm very goal-oriented, very action-oriented. I always need to be working towards something. And that will never change. But what is the place that I'm working from? That's what needed to change. Mm-hmm. In Superwoman complex, I can do all things. I can be all people. No, something's going to fall off the plate. Something's going to drop. Mm-hmm. And what drops can be detrimental. Women at work in senior positions do not have the time, bandwidth, emotional, mental, and spiritual space that their children need to be replenished and nurtured, raised. The same thing for your partner. Does your partner feel off the plate? Because you got meetings, you got networks, you got events, you're traveling. Oh, don't get me started with the business travel. It's a lot. And so something has got to give. So we can't do it all. We need to own that. I had to get to a space of, I have a large capacity. So that also didn't help me. What I do recognize with me, what can break people? I am not broken. It's what is the plan? My house could be on fire. Okay, what are we doing? And so I'm not easily discouraged. I'm just never in that place because I don't look at things as existing outside of me. Everything that I need to be, to do, to have exists in me. I need to tap in. And so I needed to realize I can't do it all. And quite frankly, don't want to do it all. What do I want? Rest. I want ease. Okay, so then I need to function from a different place. And I'm like, huh, then I got a coach. I have a well-being coach. There's this community called ambitionandmischief.com. Jim Cartagena, she's amazing. But she literally helped me to move from this hustle mindset to, instead of functioning from hustle and depletion and exhaustion and getting things done, I'm functioning from prioritizing my well-being. If whatever it is that I need to get done, home life, work life projects, how do I want to feel during completing this, working on this, getting to this, doing this? How do I want to feel at the end of it? And based on what those feelings are, how do I need to operate, show up? What do I need to cut off, stop? to meet that. So I'm still working towards a goal. It's still satisfying that hustle in me, but mm-hmm. I'm prioritizing my well-being, how I want to feel maintained. And that superwoman complex, it's not healthy. It is toxic. Take off the cape. That's not it. Mm-hmm. And I mm-hmm. think it also comes from just from deeper level of the conversation. I thought that was the way because that's all I saw.
Yeah.
Right. The women in my family, everyone is like working, doing this, doing that, managing households, kids, husband, wife, all the things. But I've seen women work hard. I've seen women work smart. But I didn't grow up seeing women work with ease and have ease in their completion of whatever they had in their hands. So I think that's what needs to change in me prioritizing.
Excellent. Okay. I'm going to jump into, because I think we've actually covered a lot of the questions. So I'm going to jump into the lightning round questions. But before I do, is there anything that you want to say about Magnolia and why that has been such the right place for you, and or anything else that you want to add just from a general perspective?
So Magnolia has been a full circle moment for me. I've been in HR for 19 years. My teams, anytime I would go and visit a store, I love, of all the industries I've worked in, I love retail HR the most. I love supporting teams and having stores and all things. And anytime I would go visit the stores, I would bring cupcakes or I would bring banana pudding. I'm known for this. And I would always joke with my teams, I don't know that you guys are actually excited to see me or you just knew I was bringing cupcakes. Magnolia has been a staple for me and my family for all the years. I think when I interviewed with our CEO, Bobby Lloyd, she was surprised at how well I knew the menu. And I kept asking her, why did you change the banana pudding? And what happened with this? And this is, she's like, oh, you're a customer. I was like, oh yes, I could tell you about your menu changes and all the things. And who would ever think that at the height, at the mountaintop of my career, I would be head of HR for Magnolia Bakery. Wow. To know that was in my future and at this company. And so that's like super exciting for me. It's been so rewarding and so fulfilling and a full circle moment. I was brought on board to establish HR practice and drive the company forward from a people perspective strategically and creating initiatives and driving us to be a best place to work. I've been able to build out an incredible, phenomenal team. I'm not going to give them shout outs because I don't want anyone trying to recruit my people. And they probably wouldn't go anyway because they love me as their leader. But it's been wonderful. And I also have a nonprofit, which I spoke about, the Sisterhood Society for Women of Color. That's sisterhoodsocietywoc.org. And the career work that we're trying to help facilitate for Black women has been monumental. Trying to do both and manage that and home life and relationship. Sure, it comes with its challenges, but I'm challenged most to stand in my agency. And I think even in the role at Magnolia Bakery, having agencies, being the authentic leader that I wanted to be, that I defined for myself, owning my voice at the table, creating value, adding value. But when value isn't seen, maybe I need to adjust my strategy to get the buy-in for this initiative or this program that we want to roll out. It's been fascinating and phenomenal internally for my personal growth and trying to manage all the things. But the biggest learning is that, can you have it all? Can you really have it all? I think we need to, as women, define what all is.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And so being able to manage my work week and all the things on my plate where I'm very present in my relationship, right, with my partner and my home is maintained. I feel good. I have ease. My well-being is prioritized. I get to engage socially, figuring out how many can I do the week. And then I have my projects. I would cram everything into the week before. What? What's the deadline on this? Mm-hmm. 3 weeks. Okay. I have the capacity. I could get it done the first week by Wednesday, but mm-hmm. why do that? Mm-hmm. It's due in 3 weeks. Let me spread it out the 3 weeks. That's been helpful. So yeah, this position has been just monumental for me and my growth.
I love it. That's so great. So great. And cupcakes.
Right. Yes.
Okay. So we're going to jump into lightning round. Thank you. This is so just wonderful stuff. I'm so excited to share this episode. Tell me a book that has greatly influenced you.
Oh, this was hard. This was so hard. Brave New World, Erin Dignan. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal book.
Cool. How about your favorite quote or saying?
Know your worth. I've said it all so the good. Years. Yeah.
Yeah. So simple and so profound too. What's a one word or moniker that you would use to describe yourself?
Oh, sustained fire.
Ooh, that was really good. I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
And how about one change that you made in your life that has made your life better?
Taking agency for myself and prioritizing my boundaries before my action.
This is my favorite one. What's your power song? What's your walk-up song?
I couldn't pick, but I landed on Alicia Keys' Girl on Fire.
This has been such a treat to get to know you even better. And I look forward to more. I'm excited to partner with you in many ways. But thank you so much for sharing your journey and your wisdom and your ease, which I'm going to start trying to take with me too.
Thank you so much. This has been phenomenal.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Beyond Barriers podcast. There are thousands of podcasts out there, and we are so grateful that you've chosen to listen to ours. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and tell a friend. Or share what you've learned on LinkedIn and tag us. We love hearing from our audience. Visit us at gobeyondbarriers.com, where you can subscribe and find show notes, links, and the best way to connect with our guests.